Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The basis for our sermon today is from the Holy Gospel, which is found in the 9th chapter of the book of Luke. And I just want to read the first few verses of this. About 8 days after Jesus and said these things, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up into a mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. This is the word of the Lord for us today. The transfiguration of Jesus Christ is one of the most glorious things that happened to Jesus while he was here with us on earth. His appearance changed. He was dazzling, white with bright light. It was a marvelous thing to experience. Peter, James, and John were with him on that holy mountain. And they were there for a very special reason, to be encouraged and strengthened in their faith, for they were about to enter dark days for Jesus and for these disciples. And they needed what they saw and what they experienced to help them in their faith, to help them to remain strong and steadfast and true to the Lord Jesus and to his love for them. So you and I need to hear these words also, because we live in a sinful world with all kinds of temptations and all kinds of evil things happening around us as well. And here in these words of our gospel text, we see convincing evidence of who Jesus really is, and of what he came to do for us and for our salvation. This convincing evidence shows us that he is truly the only begotten Son of God. Glory from the Father, glory from all eternity is with Jesus here on this holy mountain. Before this, he appeared only as a human being. He wasn't unlike any of us, unlike any person who lived at that time. If you saw Jesus coming down the street, you'd see a human being, a man, coming down the street. And if you lived in Nazareth as Jesus was growing up, you'd probably say, "Well, hi, Jesus, how are you doing today?" Because it was a person that you knew and that you were familiar with and that you were friends with. "Hi, Jesus." You were maybe buddies with him. Always a good thing to be a buddy with Jesus. Even when he was a baby, lying there in a manger, it's more than just a baby, more than just a man. The Lord Jesus was God. God come to us in flesh and blood. And this is the way it was for the disciples as well. They saw him. They saw his miracles, and he knew there's something special, something different about him. When Jesus stilled the storm, they said, "What kind of a man is this, that even the wind and the waves obey him?" They could see there's something there, but they weren't able to really pinpoint it or really visualize this in their heart and mind. And here on the Mount of Transfiguration, they see glory shining from Jesus like a bolt of lightning, like the sun shining. And you know, and I know, that if there's an eclipse of the sun, you're going to hurt yourself real bad. If you look directly into the sun during an eclipse, you can burn out your eyes. You need a piece of dark glass to look through to see that eclipse. Well, it's the same way with the glory of the Lord. It's blinding if we look directly at it. That's why Moses could not look directly into the fullness of God's glory when he was here on earth. He saw only the latter parts of it. Here the glory of God shone through in a marvelous way. This was an encouragement for those disciples who saw Jesus in this way. Dark days were coming. From the glory of the Transfiguration would come the darkness of Good Friday. From the glory of being with Jesus on this mount, Jesus would be hanging on a cross as an atoning sacrifice for our sin. And the whole world would turn dark because of what was happening on that day. Here the disciples could find some semblance of comfort. We saw Jesus in his glory, but what has happened? And they were in despair, but because of their unbelief, not because of the fact that they had been with Jesus and seen the power and his glory. You and I go through dark days too. We have problems. We can have a good day once in a while. I have lots of good days. I hope you do too. Sometimes I might even get into the idea that every day is going to be a good day because today's a good day, but that's not true. You know that and I know that. Good days can turn very quickly into bad days. You can have a heart attack. You can have a car accident. You can get into a fight with your friends or with your mother and father or parents or sister and brother. We live in a sinful world, and this world is challenging for us. But a wonderful thing to have Jesus in our heart and the radiance of his love in our heart to help us through those dark days, which surely will come for us all. Here we have convincing evidence. The Lord is with us in his glory and power. Also, we have convincing evidence that Jesus is the beloved chosen Son of God the Father, chosen for us and our salvation. He's here on a mission. He says, I've come to do the will of my Father. I've come to finish the work that the Father has given me to do. And what work is that? To be our Savior. To take our sins upon himself, to suffer and to die for those sins, to be the advocate that we need, the propitiation, meaning the payment, the atoning sacrifice for all our sins. That's why he came. That's why his face from this time on was focused on Jerusalem. Moses and Elias talked to Jesus about his departure, about his exodus, about his death, about him, what he would accomplish through that death, the salvation of all mankind. And so here we have the Father speaking from heaven. We see that person of the Holy Trinity testifying to who Jesus is, my beloved Son, the chosen one for the salvation of the world. And here we have convincing evidence that salvation is in no one else other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by him. We have the convincing word, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but also the contrary word, he that rejects him and doesn't believe in him is lost. The tragedy of so many lives is that they have turned their back on the Lord Jesus. They don't have time for him. They don't put their trust in him. And they lose out on the salvation that Jesus has gained for them through his life, death, and resurrection. You and I, in these words, have convincing evidence. This bolsters our faith. We know that the word of God is true. And the word of God is strong for us today, by which we may live out every day of our life in communion with our Heavenly Father and in trust of our Savior, that his word upholds us and guides us in everything. We have convincing proof and evidence of this. And this is something that we not only need to have for ourselves. It's something that we need to share. We need to pass on to our neighbor and friends. We need to pass on to our children and grandchildren. We need to pass on to anyone that we can possibly reach and meet for their salvation, for the sake of their holy, that life in heaven. We may be rejected, men may turn us down, but then they have a major problem because of their rejection. We offer them what I call convincing evidence. It has changed your heart. It has changed my heart. It's changed the heart of everyone who hears and accepts it and believes it. The gospel is a life-changing message. It's not something that's inert. It has power, the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. That's why Paul could say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is that power of God. And so you and I have from the word of God, the scriptures, that are more sure than anything else in heaven and earth, because whatever the scripture says is going to come about. It's going to come to pass. It's a word of the living God. And people may disdain this, may reject this, may laugh at it, may mock it. But this is to their sorrow, because they are turning down the very offer, the wonderful offer that God offers to everyone. Receive my son. Believe in the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved. You and I need to be really active in this. We don't care. We should not care what the consequences might be. Some people might say, well, I'm afraid to talk about Jesus to my friends because I don't want to lose my friends. Well, that leads me to ask you, well, then who really is your friend? Who is your best friend? And you know that's Jesus. And others will say, well, I'm afraid I might lose my job, or I might no longer be able to move about freely as I would like to move. I know people in Muslim lands, they have more serious problems than we have, because if you talk about Jesus there, it might be off with your head. So you and I need to be encouraged, and these words encourage us. They tell us this is convincing evidence. Share it. Let the word of God dwell in these people, and it'll change their heart and mind. In our Sunday school lessons, it's so important to teach the children not only the Bible stories. They learn about Joseph and his coat of many colors. They learn about David and Goliath, and these are glorious stories from the Bible. But we need to learn more than these Bible stories. We need to know that the Lord Jesus came to suffer and to die and rise again for us. These stories must become personal in our lives, just like this was personal in the lives of Peter, John, and James. So often we have lost ground on this. This is one of the reasons why I think so many of our churches are weak or dying, because we have lost that intimate message, that personal testimony. I read theological articles that come from our seminaries and all kinds of highfalutin ideas in those articles, but they miss the mark because they do not relate it to the Lord Jesus Christ and to the salvation message that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is something we need to do as a church, as parents, as teachers in the church. We need to be upfront and present this convincing evidence over and over again as to what it means to be a Christian and what Christ has done for us. One of the experiences that I had when I first came to Corvallis almost 40 years ago was to have a young man. He was probably in his late teens, maybe early 20s. He came to me and he needed help. He wanted to talk to me as his pastor and as his counselor. He'd not been in church for a long time. I said, okay, come on in. Sit down. Let's visit. And he shared with me a lot of things. He was a graduate of Zion School, so he got the word of God there at Zion School. He was confirmed by the pastor at Zion Church before my coming. And so he was confirmed, and he was raised in a Christian home. But he got involved with drugs. He's going down the slide that leads to hell. And he realized this. And he came to visit me. He says, can you help me? And I said, I know I can. I got convincing evidence. I got it right in front of me, and I'm putting it right in front of you. And I said, when you were baptized, you became a child of God. The Holy Spirit came into your life. Your parents did you the greatest favor they could ever do by bringing you to holy baptism. He said, they did? I said, that's right. Oh, hey, that's good. He liked that. Because he was on the outs with his parents. He didn't think anything of them. He didn't think anything about their Christian life and witness. But I said, this is what they did for you. They brought you to the Lord Jesus in baptism. They brought you to the Christian day school. They brought you to make sure you were confirmed. You needed to continue in that faith. And that's what happened to you. You didn't. But I'm hope and pray I can bring you back by this convincing word of God, this convincing evidence. You know that life, that man's life was transformed just like that. He renewed his faith in the Lord Jesus. He began to live his life for the Lord Jesus. His life of drugs was over. His life of devotion to God was newly begun. That was almost 40 years ago. And he still reminds me. He says, do you remember when I came to your office that day? I said, I sure do. And I remember what happened on that day and how the Lord transformed your life by the convincing evidence of the Word of God. May that also happen to you. And through you in the lives of other people, we see Jesus in glory and honor for our salvation. Believe it with all your heart and share it with all your strength. Amen. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ to life eternal. Amen.